The NC Department of Transportation is holding a public meeting to discuss the proposed improvements on U.S. 258. The project proposes to add travel lanes, a raised median, and other intersection improvements. As part of the project, the overpass bridge on U.S. 258, U.S. 64 interchange will be replaced. The meeting will be held Wednesday, November 19th at the Edgecombe County Administration Building, 201 St. Andrew Street in downtown Tarboro. The public is invited to attend at any time between 5 and 7 p.m. when DOT representatives will be available to answer questions.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
It's really been fascinating to see what's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. Last night I was reading a lot of local reporting and also a lot of national reporting on the immigration crackdown in Charlotte. And I wanted to step back for a minute and see if we could understand if there's something else going on here. And I think there is. If nothing else, and normally when we think about immigration and migrants and the illegals, We think of the big cities, right? Like, New York City and Los Angeles and San Francisco, for example, Chicago. We'll throw Chicago into the mix. Not so much, but we really don't think about that next tier of cities, places like Atlanta and, for example, Charlotte, North Carolina, or even places like Memphis, Tennessee, where we have a massive influx of illegals in our community. But more so in Charlotte, where we are now not only watching this crackdown and several hundred illegals have been arrested, but there was something else going on. And I think it serves as a lesson for all of us on the true nature and the true impact that illegal immigration is having in our nation. For example, a number of schools, a lot of teachers are now posting TikTok videos from Charlotte showing how empty their classrooms are. And we understand thousands and thousands, over 20,000. I've seen some reports, maybe as many as 30,000 children absent from school in Charlotte, which is one of the largest cities in America, over 900,000 people. They're saying about 20% of the population doesn't even belong here. They're illegal. They're supposed to be in another country. And so when you look at that many people being surged into a community, it literally changes the nature and the culture of the community. It's Charlotte is no longer Charlotte anymore. It's no longer really a Southern community when you've got that much of an influx. And that is truly a replacement size population. Now, just think about this for a moment. When you look at the families of the illegals, by and large, they are having very large families. The average American family, some of you are not even getting married or even having kids anymore. Many of you are, if you are having a child, you will have maybe one child or two. Many of the families of the illegals are having three, four, five, six children. So there is going to be an explosion of population in the coming years. And in a very short amount of time, you are going to find that the original settlers of Charlotte, North Carolina, you're about to be pushed aside. And if you think your city has already changed, you just wait until a couple of more years and see what happens. But many of the illegals are afraid to go to school. So now we're watching these videos and people are complaining. It's like, oh my gosh, these poor kids, they deserve to be educated. They deserve to be in school. They should not be afraid of ICE agents. And my contention is, yes, actually they should. Their parents put them in a very awkward and very bad position, and I get it, it's not their fault, but the reality is the American taxpayers should not be forced to pay the bills to educate these kids. And I know that may seem to be a harsh statement, but we're not doing a good job of educating our kids as is. We don't have enough resources available to actually take care of the kids that we have here in this country. And the reason why is we're having to use most of that money to accommodate the children of the illegals, many of whom do not speak English. Many of them have no sense of anything when it comes to education. And so these schools, instead of hiring teachers to be band directors or art teachers, they're having to hire English as second language teachers. And that is just simply unfair to the law-abiding families of the American kids. It's not right. But for me, to see those empty classrooms, it really does hit home the impact that illegal immigration is having, that we are having to build larger schools. We're having to hire more teachers. We're having to expend more resources to take care of people who do not belong here in our country. And then just a few moments ago, before I came up into the studio, someone sent me this video of a construction site in North Carolina in the Charlotte area. And the guy was saying, there's nobody here. We got no workers anymore. Construction had literally come to a halt because all of these, there were no construction workers, presumably because they were all illegal. And again, if you're a legal immigrant, you've got nothing to fear. So if you've got a job at that construction site, you can actually go to that site. You're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to get arrested. You're not going to get deported. The ICE agents are going after the illegals. I mean, it's really that simple. But if you're telling me, and if this video is to be believed, and I have no reason for it not to be, I mean, it looks very authentic, but we are to believe that most of the construction workers in Charlotte, North Carolina are illegals, and they're being paid very low wages. And that's on the construction companies. And it seems to me that if we're not going after the construction companies, if we're not going after the owners of these companies that are hiring all of this cheap, illegal labor, then we're missing the point. Because we've got to start teaching these companies and these corporations that we're not going to tolerate them paying cheap labor and hiring cheap labor who's in this country illegally just so they don't have to pay a law-abiding American citizen a living wage. This is mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. But that is the mindset of a lot of these owners of these companies. They would much rather hire this cheap foreign labor. Somebody also sent me a video. I was very busy today. Sent me a video of a university graduation. I don't know where this was. It was here in the United States. And they showed a video of the people graduating. I couldn't see a single American in the it was all foreigners that were graduating. And Dylan, I know when you graduated from the University of Memphis. What was your graduation ceremony? We talked about this one time.
Yeah, not a lot of white folks. That's put it bluntly.
Or black folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of foreigners.
Long names.
Yeah.
God bless the pronunciation person.
I understand exactly what you're saying there. So again, ladies and gentlemen, we are expending a lot of tax dollars to educate some other country's kids. What's up with that? Why aren't we focused on educating Americans first? That's my question. What's going on here? I want to go to High Point, North Carolina. Bill is listening to us on our great affiliate, WSJS. Hey, Bill, I know that you want to weigh in on the student aspect of this.
Certainly, Todd. Listen, my wife did 30-year tour of duty in public schools. Okay. Well, that's another day. But right now, these thousands and thousands of kids that are staying out of school, and there's the reason why they're out. We're all it's obvious to everyone. So what I say, take these ICE officers and you, for the day, you put them down as a truancy officer, and let's go knock on the doors of these 21,000 students that are out. They've done the work for us. We know where they are. Let's go find out why they're out of school and just move from there.
It seems to me, though, Bill, when you look at the vast numbers, I mean, I know they're saying, what, 30,000 kids were absent from school. I'm with you. Go to their homes, and that's where you're going to be able to round up, you know, all the illegals. There was a guy who owned a bakery in Charlotte, and he's a, you know, Hispanic guy, and he shut down his bakery because he said people, you know, customers were afraid. So he's telling us that his customer base must be illegal immigrants, because those are the only people that the ICE agents are going after right now, illegals.
Correct, and that's what they're here for. And just let them do their job. And Todd, let me move to another quick point, and I'll get off the phone and let your show continue. And as far as all these people that are protesting for all these illegal immigrants, I'll bet you a dollar to a donut, there's none of the people protesting out there that are SNAP recipients, okay? So all the people that are doing all this protesting and all this, I say we set up a tent at all these protests, let these people come in and sign up to be a sponsor for these illegal immigrants, then take them into their homes, support them to get them through into this country legally, since this is what they want to do. I'm not wanting my tax dollars spent taking care of these people. So those that want them here, let them help put them into the system. Not on my tax dollars.
Right, and that's exactly, not on our tax dollars. There was a story out of Charlotte involving a woman from Vietnam. She's been here 30, 40 years, and she's a business owner. And it turns out, guess what, Bill? She's an illegal. All right, well, a couple of things here. So you're going to spend 40 years in this country. You spend all this time and energy and effort building a business, a company, and you can't take the time to become a legal citizen sometime during that you know, 30, 40 years that you're living in America. Also, how are you paying your taxes, ma'am? If you're not a legal citizen, how are you doing that?
Well, Todd, we're all searching for answers for these questions. And to be honest with you, all I can do is get on my knees and pray that the Almighty God will give us the answer, because we're surely not getting it out of Washington.
No, we're not. No, we're not, Bill. And you know what? When I see those pictures coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina, I see that we have lost our country right now. I mean, that's the reality of it. And every other city in America, you better wake up, because I guarantee, Bill, I do wonder. I know that a lot of people in Charlotte knew they had a high crime problem, but I'm wondering if they knew the extent of the illegal immigration problem, not only there, but now apparently in Raleigh, North Carolina as well.
Well, what's happened is, I'm not a politician. I'm just an everyday Joe here, and I'm just going by what I see. And these people are just moving around like almost like gypsies. You know what I'm saying? and they're never really able to get a hold of this. And I think they just really, as President Trump is doing and trying to do now, we need to put the brakes on this. Not just from securing the border, but let's secure our cities.
Bill, that is a great point, and maybe that is the headline of this show. Now we must save our cities, and I suspect a lot of small towns are dealing with this as well. Bill, I got to run for a quick break. Thank you for that call. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, You help secure more screens. You lock in two free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. All right, let's go to the phones here. Gainesville, Georgia. Jeff is on the line. Hi, Jeff. What's going on?
Hey, how are you doing, Mr. Stearns?
Good. Thank you for asking.
Down here in Gainesville, Georgia, like you were saying, all these plants are and these illegals. You got the poultry capital of America down here, and that's all they are. That's all you see when you go in there.
You know,
it used to just be Mexicans, but now you got Guatemalans, Venezuelans. I mean, they're taking over the whole city of Gainesville.
Is that right? So you guys are seeing a massive influx there in Gainesville, which is a very large city, by the way. You guys are seeing a lot of foreigners coming into your neck of the woods.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's slap covered up with all these poultry plants. That's all that works in there.
I got a question for you, Jeff. Let's just say, for example, that the poultry companies, and like this construction company, they decide, you know what, we're not going to hire illegals anymore. Meanwhile, though, you still got to process the chickens. You still got to build the houses. Their argument is they can't find American workers. What do you say about that?
Somebody did it before the illegals was over here. Somebody was doing it.
Bingo. And they were making good money. Those were good paying jobs too, right?
Right. But now I'm sure they're not. Because they got a bunch of illegals in there they don't have to count for.
They don't, and they're paying them cheap wages. And that's the only reason they're doing it. Jeff, it just seems to me that we need to crack down on these company owners, and we're going in arresting all the illegals. They need to be arresting the managers and the owners of these companies.
Yeah, but I think these companies got their pockets so deep, I think they're paying the counties off, too.
Well, I don't know about that, but I would not be surprised. You know how politics is. Jeff, thank you for that call, and thanks for the update. I didn't realize how crazy it was in Gainesville. I know in Dalton, Georgia, which is very near Chattanooga, that was the carpet capital of the world. It may still be the carpet capital of the world, but a lot of carpet is made in Dalton, Georgia. And even back in the 80s and 90s, there was a massive, massive influx of workers south of the border. Let's go to Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. This stuff with the illegals and the percentage of illegals in Chicago, I agree with everything you say about what the cost and everything, but something nobody's talking about. Wonder how many of those illegals are going to get to vote in 26 and 28 and down the road. If you will look at the voting laws in all these areas where they're concentrating these illegals, it is very, very easy. Basically, in North Carolina, it's just kind of on the honor system that you're a citizen because you can file for a ID exemption and just get one. And I think if you will look across, look at this last election that the Democrats just dominate. If you look at every one of those areas and look at their voting laws, look at the percentage of illegals laying there, there's a line you can connect the dots. There's a line you can follow that it is about, that's what's going on. They're trying to make North Carolina a blue state.
Well, I think they've succeeded in doing that. And I know that last year there was an amendment that they were proposing that would explicitly ban non-citizens from voting in elections, which implies there's a big problem with non-citizens voting in North Carolina elections. And they were trying to do something about that.
Yeah, well, we need to do stuff. We do a census every 10 years just to get population numbers right. A private company does just standard inventories every so often to get their inventory right, because you can't depend on all this other stuff.
Well,
I think we need to have a census-type election where one election, we go in there nationwide and do elect by paper ballot only, no mail-ins, no nothing. You show an ID proving you're a citizen of the United States.
Steve, I got to run, my friend. We're super late for a break, but I think we got the gist of it. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. All right, coming up a little later, we're going to get into this huge controversy involving Congressman Corey Mills out of Florida. Also, Stacey Plaskett, who is the who is a Democrat delegate. Republicans, again, botched an effort to censure Plaskett. And we'll tell you more about that coming up in the next hour. I want to pivot to Dearborn, Michigan, where there's some crazy stuff going down. And clearly there are Christians in Dearborn who have finally said enough is enough. And there was a guy by the name of Jake Lang, and they're calling him a provocateur. He happens to be a Christian, and he's enraged at the Islamification of Dearborn, Michigan. And so they've been doing a lot of protest marches. This guy's been attacked, physically attacked by Muslims there in Dearborn. It's an ugly, ugly situation of the way the Islamists are responding. This is Jake Lang talking at the Dearborn Council meeting, where I believe all of the council members and the mayor are of the Islamic tradition. Cut number one, please.
In 1900, the world was 30% white. Fast forward 125 years, we are down to 7%. The Islamification of Europe is particularly aimed at the destruction of white people. The Islamification of America is aiming to meet the same goal. Our people, white Christian, European, Western civilization, we built the arts. We built the Colosseum. We have ran the world into the industrial age. And now, this people here, the Muslim community, is looking to drag us back. They're looking to oppress women, oppress homosexuals. They're looking to destroy everything that makes America great. President Trump, send ICE into Dearborn. These people have overstayed their visas. They're H-1B chain migration invaders, and they have come to this country to destroy our way of life. We know exactly your laws in your book about lying to our faces, pretending to be Americans, wearing your suits. But that doesn't happen anywhere else where you guys are in charge. There are 53 Muslim majority countries, and in all of them, it is tyranny, destruction, it is living. We have to call it what it is. You guys don't live like we do. We don't want you in our country. We will come and eat your shawarma in Somalia, okay? We don't need it here in Michigan. We don't need it in any part of America. We have a right to self-determination.
Damn right.
Our founding fathers fought and died for our posterity.
First.
For white Americans.
Amen.
And we're being driven out. You come here and you marry four or five women and you outbreed us. You change the laws. You make all of our country look like the places that you fled from. We don't want you here. Respectfully, get the out of my country. I don't want you here. 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 This is our country. And the people, the veterans, the World War II veterans, that blood has soaked for our constitutional republic, are taking a look around Europe. They're taking a look around America. And they're saying, what the hell did we fight for? We have been taken over without a single shot fired. You guys are outbreeding insidious parasites on the American way of life. You will never look like us. You will never eat like us. You won't build buildings like us. You are nothing. You can build nothing. Just like President Trump's great American friends have said, you guys are not us, and get the f*** out. America first. America only. God bless America. Jesus is king.
All right, so the guy keeps going on shouting, Jesus is king. You know, it completely erupted. We can't play that part because of the language. It was just, you would have just had 45 seconds of beeps. But the crowd became enraged when the guy kept saying, Jesus is king. Now, some of you listening to this are going to say, okay, that's pretty xenophobic what the guy said, or that's anti-Muslim. But what he said, what did he say that was wrong? Was there anything that this guy said that is not true? And I say that, and I ask that question because, again, you have to back yourself away from the rhetoric of what the guy was saying. A couple of weeks ago, and what set all of this off is the mayor of Dearborn, who is a Muslim, told a man that he was a Christian and that he wanted all the Christians to leave. The Christians were no longer welcome in Dearborn, Michigan. And that set off all of these controversies. So as they're marching through the streets, the Christians are getting pummeled. And finally, they said enough is enough. They went to the council meeting and they had their say. Now, you can say what you want to. And many of we do have freedom of religion here in this country. But this country was founded to be a Christian nation, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm just telling you right now that the Islamic way of life is not compatible with Western civilization. It's just simply not. And we're watching this happen now. You're seeing this in New York City, and especially in New York City, you need to pay very close attention to all of the Islamists will come out of the middle of Times Square. They'll do a takeover of Times Square, and they'll bring out their prayer rugs, and they'll actually pray in the streets right there in New York City, the crossroads of the world. That is not just a devout, these are not devout people practicing their faith. This was very symbolic, and they're sending a message that they are here to conquer us. Now, when you go to an Islamic country, and we did a little research on this, if you go to an Islamic country, let's say you go to, I don't know, Saudi Arabia, you're not going to find Muslims pulling out prayer rugs and praying in the streets in public. That is considered to be rude. It's considered to be inappropriate. They do their prayers in their mosques. That's the normal way. But what they're doing here, these very public iterations of their faith in the streets of major American cities, they are sending a message, ladies and gentlemen. And as much as the Christians and the Jews need to pay very close attention, all you folks in the LGBT community, you better pay very close attention. Because as much as they hate the Christians and the Jews, they hate you too. And we are all going to have a great big target on our backs here. And it's beyond me that Hollywood, folks, it's going to be a terrible thing, and I hope it doesn't come to this. But there's a very real possibility that our major cities could begin to look like what's happening in London and Paris, and it's going to happen very quickly, unless we have government leaders who can make very tough, they call them difficult decisions. I don't think they're all that difficult. Do we really want to import and continue importing people into our country who hate our very way of life? That's what Ilhan Omar is all about. She hates us. And yet we opened our doors to these folks. It's just insanity. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Do you share that concern, or are you thinking that, you know what, this is not a big deal, it's just Dearborn? But it's not just Dearborn. You folks in Texas are going to wake up one day and you're going to discover that your entire state has gone blue and there's not a thing you'll be able to do about it with the hundreds of boxes. I'm going to give you some stats, and then we'll go to the phones here. These are the stats of what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, it is now the largest, it is the largest Arab population city in America. In the 1920s, it wasn't. In the 1960s, it wasn't. In the 1980s and 1990s, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, in 2000, about 30% of Dearborn's population was Arab. 10 years later, about 40% of the city was Arab. Another 10 years later, 54.5% of the population in Dearborn, Arab and Muslim. And now in 2023, the last numbers we have, nearly 60% of the population in Dearborn is Arab and Muslim. So in under 20 years, you went from 30% to 60%. That's where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen, in this country, at least in Dearborn, Michigan. Let's go to the phone lines. Zachary in Woodlands, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Zachary. What's on your mind?
Hi, how's it going? So I'm in Texas right now, but grew up in the New York area near a large Hasidic Jewish population. And while not Muslim, I've seen exactly what religion, especially religions that clash with our current culture, can do to towns and can do to cities. And it's definitely, you know, listening to you, I can see how this could be a major concern. You know, here in Texas, kind of the reason I moved is that doesn't really have as, that is not as much of an issue here, let's say. And in New York, Michigan, I'm very curious to see how these Muslim leaders act. And it is a little nerve-wracking of what might happen.
Zachary, I'm curious, when you see what's happening in New York, because I lived for a long time, I lived in a neighborhood that was about a third Orthodox Jewish, a third Pakistani Muslim, and a third Jehovah's Witness. So I was the odd man out in that neighborhood. And I think everybody basically got along and minded their own business. My concern is when the Muslims become the majority, what does that look like? And I think we're seeing that play out in Dearborn, which is why it's a bit shocking for people.
Agreed. And that's what you just said, right? That key word is they minded their own business. And I think that if people stick and minded their own business, did not force their way of life on us, I don't think there would be any issues. But if you see people continuing to do that and infringe on our way of life, not assimilating, that becomes the root of the problem, in my opinion.
And that will. And it'll happen, for example, they'll start going after the liquor stores. As a matter of fact, this was actually, I believe, in Houston, where you had Muslims going to the neighborhood, you know, we call them bodegas in New York City. They're convenience stores, and saying, we're going to boycott you if you don't stop selling alcohol in our neighborhoods. That's where you're going to start to see the influence begin to materialize.
Agreed. But, I mean, if you look at the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, or excuse me, the Mormons down in Utah, right? I mean, any time a major religion takes over, they could be forcing our ideals, whether it's Muslim, some Christian areas, right? Even in New Jersey, I mean, there's still the blue laws where there's dry places throughout the state, right? So I do agree with you there, but I think that could potentially span across multiple religions.
Well, yeah, it could. But right now, I don't see many Christians out there, you know, again, calling for, you know, the liquor stores to be shut down. You know, we had prohibition. That didn't go well because, you know, it's bad enough that Baptists, you know, in some of these dry counties, Baptists have to go across county lines to get their booze. You know, back in the, 1920s, they had to go to a different country to get their booze.
Yeah.
So
no, 100%.
Zachary, are you concerned though? I know the governor of Texas yesterday declared the Council on American Islamic Relations a terrorist group. Are you guys concerned about the rise of Islam there in Texas? Has that become an issue?
I have not seen it. I mean, I live in the Woodlands, about 45 minutes north of Houston. I don't think I've seen one Islamic person here. But I feel like in Texas, they wouldn't let that happen.
Well, yeah, we shall see. But I'm with you. I think just about everybody's a Baptist down there in Texas. Maybe a few Methodists in the bunch. Zachary, hey, appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920. Let's go to Lonnie in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on the Epstein files. Lonnie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I'm outraged. First, I'm outraged at the Republicans. Okay? They should hold a press conference. And each one of them should say something about the last 4 years. Why was nothing said about the Epstein file? Why was it a nothing burger? And Trump has only been in for, what, 9, 10, 11 months? And now everybody's hair is on fire in with the Democrats talking about the Epstein file. So we're not doing a good job as Republicans showing the American public the hypocrisy of the Democrats who had these files for 3-4 years, did nothing with them. And what about this young lady who they are parading out that's a victim that's so vocal? Where was she the last 3 or 4 years?
Oh, look, Lonnie, it's all political theater, and I'm with you. Look, I'm angry with everybody over this, Lonnie, and it just really bothers me because the whole narrative should have been from day one that the Epstein files contained appalling behavior from Democrat Party leaders. I mean, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump. To a person, everyone involved in the Epstein thing testified Donald Trump had nothing to do with any of it. But you've got a lot of high-profile Democrats who did. The big problem I have with the Trump administration, Lonnie, is that they should have, you know, they campaigned on the promise to release the files. Day one, they should have been released with that narrative that this is what the Democrats were doing and be done with it. But instead, it turned into some sort of a political hot potato that it just did not need to be.
And yet, Todd, what about the files that have already been released, that were released months ago, even? A whole lot more than what was released during the 3 to 4 years of the Biden administration.
Oh,
and the Democrats who say that they care so much for these poor victims and everything didn't care a flip for 3 or 4 years.
No, not at all. Of course not. Of course not. Because they don't care about the victims. They only care about hurting Donald Trump. That's the only reason they're doing it, Lonnie.
Well, I want Marsha Blackburn. Every time she gets up and gets a camera or a microphone to reflect the hypocrisy of the last 3 to 4 years, and Trump gets in and he hasn't even been in a year, and they have already released some files plus. The Republicans, House and Senate, have sent it to him. So every time they go out for a press conference, even the Republicans, every one of them should start off and say, "Hey, the last 3 or 4 years, how many of these files did you get released?" Look how many have been released, and look what we're doing. And sure, maybe Trump said the first week or so he was in, he was going to release them or whatever, but he has really expedited the release compared to what the Democrats did.
Yeah, that's it. Lonnie, it's a great point. I got to leave it there because I got to take a break. But we'll pop back after the break, and I'll have a few other things to say about it. Thank you, Lonnie. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton, queen 1798, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, let's see if we can't sneak in a quick call. Pastor John from Kentucky has a question. Hey, Pastor, what's going on?
Not much, Todd. I just got a real quick question. I love listening to your responses. The first question was, I remember in New York a while back when you were there, they had something called the MCP, which is the Muslim Community Patrols. They had them dressed up like NYPDs, and they had to put a stop to it. And second of all these Muslims, especially in the great state of Texas, it seems like they're pushing the Texans for some type of conflict. Do you think we've gotten to the point of the cartridge box?
Not yet, no. But I am concerned. I mean, when you look at what happened in Dearborn, that is just unacceptable behavior in America. And the idea that you're going to attack Christians, that's not who we are in this country, Pastor John. Very concerned, though, about the direction. Pay attention, folks. The rise of Islam. We're going to be talking about this for a very long time to come. We'll be right back, everybody.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Oh, wow. You know, we were talking about this Jeffrey Epstein mess, and we've got a crazy story involving Jasmine Crockett. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Jasmine Crockett update.
Shuck it! Shuck it and jivin'!
Good job! Yeah, so Jasmine Crockett thought she had the goods on everybody. And she was going nuts. I mean, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall of the office. Oh, we be getting the smoking gun. Day going down. We be getting the smoking gun. Day be going down. That's what Jasmine Crockett is talking like these days. I have no idea why. She's a very well-educated woman, but apparently this is the new vernacular that she's adopted. Anyway, Jasmine Crockett is now accusing all of these Republican lawmakers of getting campaign donations from Jeffrey Epstein, which is a shocking allegation. All right, let's roll the tape here.
Folks who also took money from somebody named Jeffrey Epstein, as I had my team dig in very quickly. Mitt Romney, the NRCC, Lee Zeldin, George Bush, Win Red, McCain Palin, Rick Lazio. I just want to be clear. If this is the standard that we're going to make, just know we're going to expose it all.
Woo! We be going to expose it. We be going to do it. Jasmine Crockett. Shocking allegations, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, she has the records right in front of her. All of these people named Jeffrey Epstein donating to all these Republicans. Well, it turns out, thanks to the Washington Free Beacon, they went through the list and they discovered that, yes, in fact, people named Jeffrey Epstein had, in fact, donated to Republicans, but none of them happened to be the sex predator Jeffrey Epstein. A complete and utter fail by Jasmine Crockett. And how embarrassing for her that she gets up in front of God and country and announces all of this, because now she's going to have to walk it all back. It's hilarious. But again, she just told her team. And her team apparently went out there and they just did a Google search for these lawmakers and Jeffrey Epstein, and they came up with the list. See, this is why, Dylan, you know, on this program, we just don't go with information. We research it. We verify. What is it? Trust but verify. That's what you got to do these days.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you be like Jasmine Crockett. And nobody wants to be like Jasmine Crockett, shucking and jiving all the way through her time in Congress. 901-260-5926. You can't make it up. That's 901-260-5926. Earlier today, I was honored to be the speaker at the Memphis Optimist Club, and they were meeting at the very prestigious Memphis University School, and just a fine group of people. And may I just say, they're very optimistic as well. Good-hearted people. And we just had a wonderful time. Pardon me, had to sneeze. So anyway, in the course of the conversation, and I was talking about, you know, what is it like owning a radio station? And then we talked about politics. And someone raised an interesting question about how how radicalized the Democrats are becoming. And this is very true. You know, we have a local example. There's a guy by the name of Congressman Steve Cohen. He's the only Democrat representing Tennessee in Congress right now. And the guy's a far-left lunatic. I mean, he's the guy that brought a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken to a committee meeting once. Very odd behavior. And the guy always looks like he could probably use a shower. I'm just saying looks like. I haven't ever been close enough around him to sniff, but you get the idea. So anyway, this guy, he's representing his constituents quite well. I mean, he's a far-left Democrat in a far-left, congressional district. So now he's actually getting primaried by a far, far left person along the lines of an Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, this guy named Justin Pearson. He's got a power fro. And he's sort of like Jasmine Crockett, very well educated, grew up in a very upper middle class, family, went to one of the wealthiest schools in America. And back in the day, he and Jasmine talked whiter than I did. But now, he's grown out of power fro and he's all, MLK / Malcolm X kind of a guy. And he's going to challenge Steve Cohen, the Democrat, the sitting Democrat congressman. It's almost unheard of. But I'm telling you. So anyway, this question came up. How radical is the Democrat Party going to get? And I'm telling you, it is going to be radical, radical. And that's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. Every single election cycle, you're going to see a lot of these liberal Democrats die off or decide not to run, decide to retire, and they're going to be replaced by people that will make AOC. Remember, AOC was the first one, right? She was the first of the bunch. She is their de facto leader, and she's going to look like a conservative by the time we get finished with this. But the Democrat Party, as you know it, it's gone. It's over. They're done. They're just done, which is why we cannot ever allow them to be in control of anything ever again. We just cannot. We cannot do it. Now, look, I want to jump into this Corey Mills thing because it's ugly and it's not good. It's just not good. And there was an effort yesterday to censure Stacey Plaskett. She's the delegate from the Virgin Islands. And during a hearing, this was back in 2019, she was getting text messages from Jeffrey Epstein basically telling her how she should be questioning a witness during this committee meeting. It's really ugly stuff. Here's Congressman Andy Biggs. Cut two.
But here's the deal. When you're sitting there in a sitting committee and you're having communications with a convicted sex offender, and you're taking their advice on how to ask questions, maybe you got a problem. Maybe your problem is that you've brought disrepute on the House.
Yeah, maybe. So Congressman Chip Roy was backing this resolution, this all happening last night. And here's Congressman Roy from Texas on the resolution, cut five.
That we've got a sitting member, in this case the delegate, from the U.S. Virgin Islands, who was sitting in the Oversight Committee. And I'm actually a particular interest here because I was the one doing the questioning. Apparently, my questioning was so riveting that she was engaging in text messages back and forth at that moment. While I was questioning Mr. Cohen, the gentlelady was engaging in this back and forth on text messages with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, again, I've listened now for months. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle disparage and try to impugn the character of the President of the United States and other members of the administration in connection to an investigation of Jeffrey Epstein, which the President, his administration in 2019, they indicted Epstein. They actually moved forward and federally indicted him in 2019. Ghislaine Maxwell was arrested by the Trump administration. And I know the gentleman from Maryland will go on to say that the Biden administration then carry forward that arrest and indictment into prosecution. True. But it was, in fact, the Trump administration that did what had not been done for a long period of time by taking forward that indictment. So I've been listening to all of the preaching by my friends on the other side of the aisle about how any association, anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein is somehow the dispositive moment here in terms of determining the character of this administration or what they're doing or not doing when they're leaning in to try to seek the truth, where tens of thousands of pages have been released by Jamie Comer and 13 subpoenas has all been put out. So now the House just voted to have greater transparency. Time will tell what that means in terms of what the court does and how they deal with grand jury secrecy and what they do to continue to redact and protect victims' names under existing laws and how the courts treat that. That's going to be a process, as the gentleman likely knows, right? This is going to be determined as to what gets released and how. But here we have the gentlelady sitting in the oversight committee texting with a known convicted felon, a convicted pedophile that was very public and known, had served jail time, and is engaging not just in texts that were trivial, but texts involving advice about her questioning of Michael Cohen, all designed to figure out how to get Michael Cohen to be able to somehow go after Trump or Trump's advisors or people around the president.
So anyway, the censure failed because you had three Republicans voting with the Democrats, and then you had three other Republicans who just voted present. So they gave her a pass. They did the same thing when Ilhan Omar was up for a censorship over her comments about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And Corey Mills actually voted to save Ilhan Omar. Now, Mills is a Republican from Florida, and the guy is embroiled in all sorts of scandals right now. And so the allegations are that a backroom deal was worked out with House Republican leadership, that would be Speaker Mike Johnson, to give a pass to Ilhan Omar and Stacey Plaskett so Democrats would give a pass to Corey Mills because they want Corey Mills punished. Now, Corey Mills is facing allegations, and again, this is the key word, allegations of sexual assault. He's also facing accusations that he misrepresented his military service. By the way, these allegations are coming from his fellow Republicans. So Tim Burchett is just infuriated over this. So is our good friend Kat Kamick, who is a lawmaker from Florida. And they're basically accusing Speaker Johnson and Republican leadership of playing backroom games. Cut number four, please.
Hey, everybody. Tim Burchett, Late Vote Series to censor Delegate Stacey Plaskett. She's the one that was received a sizable contribution from Epstein, which apparently is legal. I'm not sure, but she also is the one who was texting with him during a committee hearing, getting instructions on how to better attack Trump from Epstein, sending her the text. So she's on some pretty powerful committees, and that just tells you how corrupt this place is. But the disgusting thing about it was four Republicans chose not to vote. Three Republicans voted present, and three Republicans voted no. So it failed. And what they did was they cut a deal. they cut a deal on another, on an ethics vote on a Republican. And that's just wrong. If everybody ought to stand on their own. If it were truly, we don't care whose party these sex offenders and all this other stuff are in, we're going after them, then we start cutting deals. To me, it's really disgusting. I get disgusted about some things, but this is one that's really, really bad. You've got some people on there who are they're chairman of committees and things like that. And that's the kind of people we put in leadership.
Okay, enough of that. Thank you, Congressman. It's, you know, when they do the selfies things, they got to make sure there's not a lot of audio. Dylan, we need to do a workshop for the Congress peeps.
Yeah, the secure, like, soundproof. You know, Congressman Burgett, he likes to roam. He likes to walk.
Yeah, so. I get it. I get
skateboard,
it.
Maybe.
Oh, he does skateboard. He does. That's true. Here's what Kat Kamick had to say. She says a handful of Republicans took a dive on a vote to strip Stacey Plaskett of her position on House Intel because of her ties to Epstein. They did it to protect a Republican facing his own ethics issues from a similar vote. This backroom deal crap is swampy, wrong, and always deserves to be called out. And it does. And I would just say, shame on Speaker Johnson for letting it happen in the first place. I mean, the guy, every single day, the guy's reminding us about what a devout Christian he is. Well, you know what? How about living up to the teachings of the Bible, sir? I mean, goodness gracious. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You might not recognize this voice, but I bet you know my law firm. Greenberg and Betterman has helped accident victims in the District, Maryland, and Virginia for over 35 years. Get a free consultation by visiting gblawyers.com and feel better.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This story from Greene County, Ohio, the local high school and middle school. Teachers there hosted a dance group. You know, back in the day, Dylan, I always enjoyed it when we had sort of like a special event at the school. And, you know, they would disrupt classes and you go to the cafe gymnatorium or wherever, and they would have like a guest speaker or some. It was always the Shakespeare people.
I liked it when they canceled the rest of the classes after that, but it never was the case. You always had to go back to class.
But then, or if you were lucky enough to have a lunch period right at the end of the presentation,
that's an ideal day for a middle schooler.
You know, the challenge, and I always wondered, and I did some research on this after college. But I always wondered why they always had the Shakespeare groups coming in and performing. And I realized they were actually getting paid for that. Those were the only paid performances those actors could get. So because nobody was actually going to see Shakespeare on their own.
They had to force middle schoolers to watch it.
Exactly. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
And we never understood a word. Mm-mm. That's fine. We were out of class.
We never did. It's like, what are they talking about? So anyway, they hosted a dance group. And apparently the group was so offensive that even the students complained. So how offensive does it have to be that even the kids are like, oh, my God, put some clothes on. Apparently, the students were very upset because the male and female performers were using the girls' bathroom. The leader of the group, a known LGBT activist. Oh, I wonder if there were any furries. Did they set up a litter box for them? Parents were not given prior warning, nor were they given a chance to opt their kids out of the show. And now the school district they're circling the wagons. They're not responding to the parents or any. And I've seen photographs, and I wish I could. There was a lot of leather and chains and body hair. That pretty much sums up the special dance group known as the Echo Dance Company. They were dancing very, very, very provocatively. So the school, yeah, they're not responding. And that's a big red flag to me. It tells me that the school intentionally deceived the parents. This wasn't some sort of a surprise. And they wanted the kids to be exposed to all of this deviant debauchery. All that to say, homeschool your kids, America. Homeschool your kids. Mommy, guess what we learned to do on a dance poll today? All right. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, you guys ready for this story? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So our good buddy Congressman John Rose, who's a congressman out of Tennessee, is enraged that the Senate stuffed a secret. They snuck a poison pill into the Clean CR. And this poison pill would allow senators, but only eight senators, to sue the federal government, which means you, the taxpayers, would be forced to pay for this. I mean, inevitably, you would be footing the bill, that they would be allowed to sue because the Biden DOJ had spied on their phones. And this was all snuck into the CR, which was supposed to be clean. So it's a huge controversy, and Republicans in the House are just enraged over this, and they're saying, you guys tried to pull a fast one on us. This is unacceptable. So now they're trying to pass legislation, and this is going to happen today. They're going to be trying to pass legislation to undo this. Now, the senators that were allowed to sue, and keep in mind, this is all over J6. The Senate, if the Senate was actually being genuine here, they would have included a provision that would have allowed any citizen to sue, but they didn't do that. This is only for senators. Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, Josh Hawley of Missouri, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming, Dan Sullivan, Alaska, Tommy Tuberville, Alabama, Ron Johnson, Wisconsin, Ted Cruz, Texas, and Senator Rick Scott of Florida. And Lindsey Graham is on record as saying he wants millions of dollars of your tax money. Millions. Congressman Rose writing that today the House will vote on striking a provision that guarantees these senators $500,000 per violation if the DOJ settles their Arctic Frost lawsuit. A reminder that the American people did not spy on these 10 senators. Biden's DOJ did. And I'm not about to let Tennesseans or taxpayers across the country foot the bill for it. Seems to me that all of these senators should be able to go and sue all of the people in the DOJ who did this. And those people should be forced to pay out of their own pocketbooks. But to the congressman's point, why are the taxpayers having to foot the bill? So now it's getting even uglier because John Thune, the majority leader, is basically saying, I really don't give two blanks what the House Republicans think about all of this. Now, CNN is reporting, and I want to read this to you because this is all happening on X. But CNN talked to John Thune about the provision, and John Thune defended it and said that they're not going to really pay any attention to what the House does. Thune says the House is going to do what they're going to do. It did not apply to them. So John Thune is basically an establishment rhino. That's who he is. Thune said there's a statute that obviously was violated, and what this does, it enables people who are harmed, in this case U.S. senators, to have a private right of action against the weaponization by the Justice Department. But that's not the issue here. The issue is that John Thune and the senators, the Republican senators, snuck a provision into that continuing resolution. And I want to know, what else did they sneak in there? Because John Thune is not a man who can be trusted. He has no credibility, no integrity at all. And quite frankly, the senators on that list all need to be speaking out against this. Thune said, I don't think anybody was talking about taking the money. Are you kidding me? That guy is so full of malarkey. He says, but I think the penalty is in place to ensure that in the future there is a remedy. That's outrageous, ladies and gentlemen. Outrageous. So again, if you're going to go down this path, then you've got to give everybody involved an opportunity to sue the government. But that's not what this is really all about. They're just looking for a quick check from the federal government. By the way, you wonder how many of these folks, these senators, are in on the insider trading. When you look at the numbers, and the Democrats are at the top of the list here, when you look at what these senators, what these lawmakers were worth when they walked into Capitol Hill for the very first time, and what they're worth now, it's disgusting. It's just absolutely disgusting. It is grift and corruption galore. Now, I have a question for you. We do not platform Nazis here on this program. We do not platform Jew haters. And that is the decision of the host of this radio show. Does that make me somehow less of a conservative? So Megyn Kelly, who is not a conservative, she's pretending to be one now, but she's really not. Megyn Kelly sparked a wave of anger, reading from Mediaite, by comparing a faction of the conservative right to the Black Lives Matter movement, criticizing pundits on the right for calling out Tucker Carlson for platforming and helping to mainstream white supremacist Nick Fuentes. Megyn Kelly says there's definitely a faction of the conservative right, the more neocon faction, the more pro-Israel faction that is turning into Black Lives Matter 2020. So Megyn Kelly is now saying that, well, if you dislike Nazis and you love Israel, well, then you're like BLM. That makes no sense to me at all. Megyn Kelly says it's very alienating and very unconservative, and it's not going to serve anybody well. Not the right, not them. It's a pointless exercise because most conservatives will recoil when faced with the choice of say it my way rather than getting on board. That's not just for us. That's just not how we've operated. Now, this is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. So now Megyn Kelly and all that crowd are suggesting that if you don't believe the way they believe, that you're not really a conservative. And I'm just going to tell you, I remember when Megyn was at Fox and I was on her show quite a bit, they would bring me on to talk about issues. She never wanted to talk about culture war issues on her show, especially from my conservative Christian point of view and perspective. And I know that because I would pitch these stories to the producers and they would say, yeah, we don't like to talk about that. Okay, well, now all of a sudden, Megyn is out there claiming that she is the next Rush Limbaugh. What's going on here? So I'm just telling you, we do not open our show up to the Jew haters, nor do we open up the show to the Nazi lovers. And that's sort of been a longstanding rule here on the program. So my question is, you know, Megyn Kelly seems to think that makes me, what, Black Lives Matter, a liberal? Unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. By the way, don't forget 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Man, millions of people are now watching Newsmax, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night you can watch great shows featuring Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Fennerty. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, streaming, or download the free app today. It takes just a few seconds to start. And by the way, President Trump, he's a big fan of our network. Let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. happy to have you with us today. We'll keep you updated on that vote with Congressman John Rose. There is a principal in Oregon, and she's very upset with ICE for deporting the illegals. Cut number eight, please.
George Floyd is my friend. I, as a child, was fascinated by World War II and read all of the stories about the Holocaust. And we are entering similar territory. What ICE is doing is what the Gestapo did in Nazi Germany. And that is not an overstatement. When I see masked people tearing people out of their cars, breaking their windows, sitting on them as if they were, I mean, I felt like I was watching a George Floyd video.
Okay, so first of all, George Floyd had an incredibly long criminal record. I'm surprised this Oregon principal would keep friends like that around. The other issue here is she's a lunatic. She's completely lying about all of this. It seems to me this woman has absolutely no place at all in a public school classroom. Unbelievable. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to demand the administration dismantle the Department of Education and return control of our schools back to the local communities. That is the only way we're going to be able to fix all of this. It's the only way that we're going to be able to save the United States of America. I mean, it really is that simple. Just unbelievable what's happening in those Oregon schools. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, you folks really do have a lot of choices when it comes to cell phone service. I mean, they're popping up all over the place, including in the conservative world. But there's only been one, only one that is owned by conservatives and Christians. I'm talking about Patriot Mobile. They sponsor our Patriot Mobile newsmaker list and or newsmaker phone line, and they do a wonderful job. Patriot Mobile, they use all three major U.S. networks, and if you have service in the country today, you're going to have it as good or better with Patriot Mobile. There is no hassle in switching over. You get to keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. And get this, their customer service team is right here in America. They don't outsource. They actually use Christian college students to answer the phone. So when you call 972-PATRIOT, that's 972-PATRIOT, you're going to be talking to a great Christian college student who's going to help you out. By the way, use the promo code Todd. Mention that, and they're going to give you a free month of service. That's huge. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Todd. You're going to get a free month of service. Now, you may say, wait a second, I'm already involved in a contract. No worries. Patriot Mobile has a contract buyout program. It's how simple it is. And it's also how we win, because Patriot Mobile supports organizations that we care about. From the First Amendment to the Second Amendment, they are all about conservative values. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Let's go to Albert in Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Albert. What's on your mind today?
Hi there. I was just calling because I heard you explaining how Ms. Kelly's position with regard to Israel and comparing those that are pro-Israel to the cancel culture that we've suffered through due to left-wing people in the country. And I just wanted to have a clarification, if I could. I think her position isn't that if you are pro-Israel, you are incompatible with the conservative movement. I think that's misrepresenting what she's saying. What she's really saying is that there are individuals who support Israel, but they resort to censorship of views that are critical of Israel. And we're starting to see a lot of that. And that is not consonant with a conservative movement that differentiates itself from the lefties and wants to protect First Amendment speech.
So, Albert, who is trying to silence someone because they don't support Israel?
There are a number of movements underway.
Just give me one. Sake of our conversation.
Of course. Look at the purchases recently made by Ellison, TikTok, CBS News. They have tacked in a different direction on the extent to which they cover Israel. And here's a bonus one. On X, they're paying over $7,000 for posts that are pro-Israel, and they are derating or underemphasizing views that are critical of Israel.
How do you know that? Because let me just say this. I have been, my algorithm, I've dropped something like 6 or 7 million engagement a month, and I'm as pro-Israel as they come. So are you saying, go ahead.
You misunderstood what I said.
I'm hearing what you're saying, but who's paying all these people to be pro-Israel?
Well, there has been reporting that AIPAC and the Israeli government have done so, and I would submit to you.
So is Qatar.
Qatar's
doing it to Tucker Carlson.
Excuse me?
Qatar is funding folks like Tucker Carlson. So, again, is that a problem? Would you object to that as well?
Yes, I would object to anything that overwhelms the system, whether it's X or whatever. So you'd have to look at the dollars. You know, what one of the issues, though, is as Thomas Massie, and no one questions his conservative credentials.
Well, I would. He's been against Donald Trump on just about everything he's done. But I want to go back because I asked for a very specific example of someone who has been punished or silenced because they're not pro-Israel.
No. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are aspects of the criticism of Israel that are systematically derated on X, and they have been deplatformed on TikTok post the Ellison acquisition of that company. And
well, the same could be said the other way. But again, I want to go back to the Megyn Kelly thing. So Megyn Kelly is suggesting that if you are pro-Israel and you have a problem platforming Nazis, well, that makes you like Black Lives Matter. And I strongly, vehemently disagree with that.
But that's not what she's saying.
That's exactly what she's saying.
No, it's not what she's saying. You said that earlier that you went on her show frequently. You should invite her on your show.
Why? Why would I do that?
Well, because I think you're putting words in her mouth. Her criticism in comparison to Black Lives Matter is that you are not allowed to say certain things about Israel on right-leaning media, and that's something that parallels certain truths about BLM that also weren't allowed to be uttered.
So do you think I should platform a Jew hater? Do you think I should platform a Nazi, a Jew hater?
No, I'm not saying
that.
Why
not? I mean, that you're silencing that viewpoint.
No, what you're doing is you're putting words in my mouth.
No, I'm not. I'm asking you. I mean, do you want us to platform a Nazi?
Sir, it's your show, let me answer the question and don't interrupt.
You know what? It is my show, and you've been on for 4 minutes and 42 seconds now, and you haven't gotten to your point. And again, I've asked for a specific example, and you have not given me a specific example. So, Albert, I've got to leave it there because we're coming up on a break. But if you can find an example of somebody who's been silenced legitimately, and these algorithms are all over the place, I can make the same argument on X from the other side of the aisle. But again, I'm just not going to do it. Does that mean Tucker Carlson should be canceled? Absolutely not. But I can tell you I'll never support him again, personally. But that's my own personal viewpoint. I don't support people who platform Nazis. But that's just me. But I don't think he ought to be pulled off of anything. You know, let the free market decide. That's what it's there for. And that's what free speech is. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome. Hour three of the big show. Great to have you with us. Hope you're doing well. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926, that's 901 260-5926. I want to go right away to our phone lines. One of our favorites, Miss Patty from North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Miss Patty, what's going on?
Well, first of all, I got a couple of things here. First of all, Charlotte, if you see who's going through the streets, they're all Mexicans. You don't see any white people.
Well, the white people, it's the craziest thing, Miss Patty.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that they're, you know what? You know, and they're carrying Mexican flags. Well, then get the hell out. Go away. If you don't like it here, go away.
Yeah, well said, ma'am. Well said.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you another thing that got me going. Is when Slotkin and Kelly and all them telling the military to go against Donald Trump? That's treason.
Well, it is treason, and it's quite frankly an insurrection. But it is treason. And you're talking about Stephen Miller. He was on Fox talking about the fact that Democrat lawmakers are now openly urging members of the military to disobey orders coming from their commander in chief.
Oh, that's not my, I'm telling you, when I watched that, you don't even know. I mean, you know what? I thought cancer was bad, but boy, that got my blood pressure up so bad because you know what? All of them, how many people went to jail on January 6th for taking a selfie? These people are telling the military to go against your president. That is definitely insurrection right there.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. This is the headline from the New York Times. Democratic lawmakers tell military to refuse illegal orders. And we're talking about six Democrats serving in Congress. And the Trump administration is rightfully blasting this. But they posted a video online. And they're telling all of these service members and people in the intelligence community to refuse illegal orders. This was all organized by Senator Elisa Slotkin of Michigan, a former CIA analyst. The lawmakers took turns reading a statement in which they cautioned that the threats to our Constitution are not just coming from abroad, but right here at home. And Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona saying, "You can refuse illegal orders." Chris DeLuzio of Pennsylvania saying, "You must refuse illegal orders." This is insanity. Just insanity, Patty.
God, what is going on here? I mean, I know they hate him, but God damn. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. But you know what? I'm so worked up right now because they should be in jail. You know, they arrested how many people for insurrection on January 6th for just doing a selfie? And these people are telling the military to go against your president.
No, I'm with you. I think they ought to be in jail, every single one of them, because they have, I mean, this is, they're violating their oath of office. By the way, Congressman Jason Crow, Maggie Goodlander, and Representative Chrissy Houlihan of Pennsylvania, those are the others that were a part of this video. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, and I know Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri saying that these lawmakers were mad the American people chose Trump and were calling on the military to intervene. I mean, this in and of itself is a soft coup, is what this is. They're trying to tell the military to rise up against the commander-in-chief. That is, in essence, an attempt to militarily overthrow the legitimate government of the United States of America. I find no other way to analyze what these lawmakers are doing right now.
That's worse than January 6th. What they're doing,
yes,
is worse than January 6th.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, Patty, are you guys concerned that the illegals may end up in your neck of the woods?
I'd like to see them come here. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, these people are, I can't, you know what, let me put it this way. I didn't think there was that many. And when I watch on the local, you know, I don't really watch local TV, but I'll be honest with you, it's all, there's no white, like I said, it's all, and they're, it's all Mexicans. It's all, and you know what? They're all carrying Mexican flags. Well, if you don't like it here, then go, get out. If you don't like it here, if you don't like what ICE is doing, go back to Mexico.
Patty, I hear you 1,000%. Patty, appreciate your call as always. Good to hear from you, my friend. Look, here's the deal. The reason why they don't want to go back is because Mexico would not tolerate their lazy behinds. Right now, they got it great. The American people, the taxpayers, are having to pay for everything. Everything. If they go back to old Mexico or Guatemala, wherever they're from, they're going to have to go to work. You know, the Mexicans and the Guatemalans, they're not going to be giving out handouts. That's not the way that works. So good luck to you. That's all I can say. But I want to get back to this story that she brought up regarding these lawmakers. This is a very dangerous thing. When you're telling the military to refuse orders, and the reason why this is dangerous is you know that we still have a lot of woke military service members out there. I know that Hegseth is trying to get rid of them, but there's still a lot of them in there, and this could be very, very dangerous, what these Democrat lawmakers are doing. And, yeah, I mean, I think Stephen Miller is right. This is nothing more than insurrection, but it also is an attempt to overthrow a duly elected president by staging a coup within the military. It's unbelievable what's going on, just unbelievable. By the way, some news out of Memphis, where the National Guard has been boots on the ground, and you had some sort of a meter-made judge out of Nashville. She came down and said, no, we're blocking the National Guard. The response from the Trump administration, they're sending even more. They're sending about 850 additional National Guard troops to Memphis. Let me tell you something. The reason they're doing this is because it's working. They are cleaning up this city. They're arresting gangbangers. And we have got a major infestation of illegals here, and very dangerous illegals. We're talking about sex predators, child predators, and they're arresting all of them, all of them. So good on the White House for doubling down and saying, you know what, fine. You want to block the National Guard? We're going to send more. I say good for you, President Trump, good for you. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, I got a book the other day, Christmas in the Movies, written by Jeremy Arnold. We're going to try to get this guy on the Christmas show. But the book is about, it goes in and does a deep dive into 35 classics to celebrate the season, Christmas movies.
I love that.
It's pretty cool, actually. And they cover the gamut, which... there are a lot of movies, so I'm just wondering, how do you narrow it down? I will say that it's interesting. It's a Wonderful Life was included in here. But, you know, It's a Wonderful Life really wasn't a Christmas movie. It came out, I believe, in September. So it really wasn't, even though it was a Christmas-centric, it was not meant to be a Christmas movie.
Like Die Hard.
Exactly. Die Hard is a great Christmas movie.
It's the best.
I challenge anyone who disagrees. But as a matter of fact, Die Hard is listed in here on
That's fantastic.
Page 188. Wow, Die Hard came out in 1988. Wow. That's insane. I remember my buddies, we saw that movie at the Lenox Square Mall in Atlanta, Georgia. That's how long ago that was. I'm not even sure that movie theater is still there. It's crazy. But yeah, this is fascinating. They do a deep dive on all of these, and I'm wondering if you've got a favorite Christmas movie. White Christmas is in here. That's one of the old school greats. I was never a big fan of Ebenezer Scrooge. That was for me, that was just not a good one. There was a movie called Scrooged, though, which was sort of a comedy. Was that was Chevy Chase in that? No,
that Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. Yeah. That was a great one.
That was good. Yeah, I like the Grinch with the Jim Carrey, the Grinch. That's probably one of my favorite Christmas movies because he's so funny. And yeah,
Miracle on 34th Street.
It's a good one.
It has to be the original. The remake, it was just weird. It came off weird. So you got to go all the way back to, you know, the original where you had Edmund Gwynn was like Santa Claus. I mean, he had the beard going. It was like the real deal, Santa Claus. And, of course, Natalie Wood, who was a child actor at the time, and she just did a terrific job. But anyway, Home Alone, of course, is listed in the, you know, the house that Home Alone was filmed at, that is still there.
Oh, wow. Someone lives in there, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they do. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Classic. One of the best.
Great. I always love the, what is it, the when they were going to say grace. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Oh, my God. That was a great, that movie was just awesome.
Yeah, it was.
And I think it truly represents every family in America and what they have to go through when the relatives come to visit for the holidays.
I'm curious because this is probably not in the book, but is Harry Potter in the book?
I am not seeing Harry Potter. That's like a demon movie.
Right. Okay. Well, Harry Potter takes place, one of the movies, there's like eight of them. One of them takes place during Christmas, and I was just
really?
Curious.
Yeah. No, Elf is in here.
Elf, yeah, that's good.
Elf made the cut, and a movie called Love Actually. I have not seen that one. And also, let's see here. Oh, there's a weird, The Nightmare Before Christmas made the list.
See, that's controversial, because some people will say that's a Halloween movie.
Yeah, I can see that. But Die Hard especially, and if you haven't seen Die Hard, here's the Christmas storyline. A New York cop battles terrorists who have seized a Los Angeles skyscraper and taken hostage. I got to read this to you. Is there anything more satisfying on Christmas than watching a loved one open the perfect present? Maybe watching it twice over. First up in Die Hard is Hans Gruber. Oh, Hans. Thanks to his own hard work of planning the robbery, he in effect gives himself the greatest present possible. Finally, breaking into the vault containing $640 million in bearer bonds. I never did remember why they were blowing up the skyscraper.
I did not make the connection there with the Christmas part of that. Yeah, no.
The movie lets the audience share Hans's triumph by blasting Beethoven's Ode to Joy and lovingly painting over the bonds and other treasures. Merry Christmas, says a henchman. Later, John McClane gives himself the perfect present. His own trusty Beretta 92F pistol, which he even gift wraps for himself with holiday packing tape. When he unwraps it at a pivotal moment, the audience gets the gift of watching him put it to sensational use and live up to his cowboy likeness. Yippee-ki-yay-ay, Christmas movie. It doesn't get much better than that. So anyway, I'm curious if you've got a favorite Christmas movie that needs to be on the list. I mentioned Miracle on 34th Street, but there are a lot of others as well, Christmas in Connecticut being one of them. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I will say this. We're excited. We're going to be doing a three-hour Christmas show, and we're going to have Christmas trivia. It's going to be a lot of fun, and people always love our Christmas shows. We have a lot of fun. Planning and preparing for that. And, of course, Aiden Pettit's going to be back with us. And Aiden actually has one of the best musical voices. You know, he's studying to be on Broadway. He does our trivia, and he's done it for the past couple of years. And he's going to be performing on the Todd Starnes Christmas Show. It's called A Starnes Country Christmas. We just announced that to all of our radio affiliates across the nation that we'll be broadcasting a special three-hour show during the Christmas season. So that'll be a lot of fun. Let's go to Louise in Toccoa, Georgia. Hi, Louise. What's on your mind today?
Well, it'd take too long to tell you, dear.
But
it would.
It would take forever, so much crap's going on in this country. But no, you need to watch the movie Love Actually. You have no idea what you're missing. It's great.
Now, this is actually, it's in the book. It was listed as one of the great holiday movies.
Well, it is. And you'll see why. But it's so many lives intertwined in it. It's really great. Liam Neeson's in it, Hugh Grant, Billy Bob Thornton. Can't think who else. It's been a long time since I saw it, but it's great. You'll love it.
You're only mentioning the good-looking guys and not the ladies here, Louise. I've noticed this.
Well, no, I can't. Who in that good-looking? Gee.
I'm just playing around with you, Louise.
I can't think of the woman. There's one woman that is famous, but I cannot think of her name.
Emma Thompson and Laura Linney. And I like Laura Linney. She's really good.
Yes, yes.
Love Actually. It came out, believe it or not, it opened the same day as Elf did in 2003. How about that? A little Elf trivia there. Louise, thank you.
That's the dumbest movie ever been made.
What? You're throwing shade at Elf?
Oh, I can't stand what's his face.
Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I don't like him at all.
Louise, you have very particular taste when it comes to movies.
Well, I'm an old lady, kiddo.
Well, you know what, then? I guess you're allowed to have that. You're allowed to be selective. Tell it like it is, but Louise.
Let me say one more thing.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't think you'll bleep me out over this. Fox News, you know, if I watch any at all, it's them. But those women on there are drop-dead gorgeous. You know, they're beautiful. And I wish they would quit wearing all that fake long hair. And that goes for Christy Nong, too, you know. I was a hairdresser for 40 years, honey. I know fake hair when I see it.
What'd you think about Steel Magnolias?
Oh, what do you mean by that? That's one of the best movies ever made.
You see, I knew you would love that. I love
it. And Pretty Woman, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. Julia, what's her name? Wow.
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
Turned into one of them woke people. You know, she's from Smyrna, Georgia.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to her. I was going to say Julia Childs, but she's the cook. Hey, Louise, thank you for calling in, and you have a great day there in beautiful Toccoa, Georgia. All right, if you got a favorite Christmas movie, give us a holler here, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Go to Memphis, Tennessee. Chuck, listening to us on KWAM Radio, wants to suggest a Christmas movie. Hi, Chuck. What you got for us?
Hello, Todd. I just love the movie Jingle All the Way. I don't know if you remember the movie or not, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the late Phil Hartman. Just a fantastic movie. It's a comedy surrounding Christmas, and it's just very funny.
I do remember, it is not in the official book of the top Christmas movies, but I remember that, and that was really a great sort of wholesome movie.
Exactly. And, of course, others that come to my mind would be Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. You know, he's always good.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, did you know that Gremlins is considered a Christmas movie?
I did not.
Yeah, it's listed on the in the book. A cuddly exotic pet spawns hundreds of mischievous little monsters that descend upon a town at Christmas time. So yeah, there you go.
Not know that.
Ho ho ho! Yeah, no, I love, you know, I love Chevy Chase. He's a funny guy. I loved all of those movies. You know, what's interesting though, it's like every movie he had different kids, right? They never had the same children.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. Chuck, by the way, Chuck, how are things going with the National Guard and all the law enforcement there in Memphis?
I think it's going great. I love them here, and our crime is down, as you know, 50%.
It is indeed, and I love to hear that. Chuck, thank you for calling in. Be safe out there on the roadways. Got to go the speed limit, too. They'll pull you over. Now, I ran into, I dropped by Central Barbecue on the way home, Dylan. I was like, what's for supper? What's for supper? I've got salad. I've got lettuce and celery. And then I saw the Central Barbecue sign, and, oh, I got brisket, too.
It's got a gravitational pull.
It did.
When you pass.
And then I had to get some potato salad because, you know.
That's the best barbecue place in Memphis.
I love Central Barbecue. Yep. Anyway, there are about 9 or 10 highway patrol officers in there waiting for my order. Went over and talked to them a little bit and thanked all the guys for their service, and we sure do appreciate them a lot. Let's go to Ely, Nevada, and Lucky is on the line. Hi, Lucky. What's going on?
Hi. I had to call in and say you left off A Christmas Story with Gavin McGavin, I think his name was. But I love the part where the young boy puts his tongue. Did you see the movie?
Oh, that is so. This is a funny thing about that movie, Lucky. Until last year, I had never seen the movie from start to finish.
Oh, in other words, you saw the end or you saw the beginning. The middle was the best part, where he sticks his tongue on the pole. And, oh, things like that the kids do, and then have to regret it. Just, you know, I raised a lot of kids. And also, I want to bring in, I'm a romantic. I just got married. And I like Sleepless in Seattle. It starts off in Christmas, and it goes to Valentine's Day. And the music in it is beautiful. So I don't know why they don't call it A Christmas Story.
Well, I don't either, Lucky, but it's a great recommendation for the list. And congratulations to you. This is exciting news.
Oh, yes. I got married 3 weeks ago. And this is a second marriage after the 56 years of my husband passing away. Never thought I'd meet a guy again that this would take my heart, but he's a sweetheart.
But he swept you off your feet.
Yes, he definitely did. I'm still smiling.
Well, good for you, Lucky. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'll talk to you, I'm sure, again. I've talked to you in the past.
Good.
I enjoy calling in and the themes that you all, you know, I like listening to you. So,
well, you're kind. And we love hearing from our good friends out in Ely, Nevada. So, Lucky, thank you again, and appreciate you calling in. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Hey, Mark, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Good. Hey, okay, so there's a movie that came out in 1994 called The Ref, as in referee. It has Dennis Leary, Kevin Spacey, and Judy Davis were the main characters, and it's definitely a comedy, but it's definitely a Christmas movie. I'm not sure have you ever seen that one.
I have not seen that movie. I'm going to have to go check that one out. It's called The Ref.
Yeah, as in referee.
Okay, I'm going to watch this movie.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's about a couple. He ends up kidnapping them, trying to get money, and he can barely stand to be around them because they're in the middle of a divorce.
Okay, that's on my list, and then I've got to watch this chick flick called Love Actually.
hey, you know what about that Love Actually? That was the first movie that the lead character from The Walking Dead that played the sheriff, that was his first movie he was in. He was a lot younger in there.
Is that right?
Have you ever watched The Walking Dead? The guy that played the sheriff, the main character?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that was his first movie. So you'll see him in there, really clean shaven, kind of weak looking.
Hold on, we've got, hold on a second. Dylan, turn your mic on. What'd you say?
That would be Sheriff Rick Grimes.
Oh, yes.
Rick Grimes, yes. Yes. Andrew, I think his name, Andrew something. I can't remember his last name.
Mm-hmm. He's
all right.
British.
Good stuff. Well, you know, we won't hold that against him. But anyway, hey, Mark, thanks for the guidance here. We're definitely adding the Christmas Ref to our watch list. Let's go to Vicky listening to us in Memphis on KWAM. Hi, Vicky. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Oh, not a lot. What's going on with you?
I'm just hanging out. We're talking Christmas. I got tired of talking about those perverts on Capitol Hill, so we had to lighten things up a little bit.
I know you do get into sensory overload when you start hearing so much stuff about these crazy, crazy politicians. But anyway, just a disclaimer about Love Actually. It's a great movie, but the language, you may want to do the family friendly version because the language is awful. But my two favorite Christmas movies, and they may have already been mentioned, I apologize if they have been, are White Christmas and Holiday Inn.
So Holiday Inn is one of my favorites, and White Christmas is really great as well. Those are two fine choices. You went old school on us.
Yes, I did. Well, those are really, in my opinion, just about the only decent movies anymore to watch.
Right. That is so true. And it's just really sad, you know, that we kind of got to that point. But yeah, I mean, they really produced some wonderful, wonderful movies. Of course, White Christmas was, a lot of people confuse White Christmas with Holiday Inn, which is another movie. But White Christmas is just one of my favorites.
Oh, mine too. We watch it every year with our grandkids.
You had Bing Crosby, you had Danny Kaye, and then you had the, who were the ladies? Anyway, they were the sister. That song, Sisters, was one of the big popular songs of that film back in the day.
Right. Rosemary Clooney, I think, was one. And the other was, I can't think of her name, Vera or Velma, or I can't think of the other one's name.
We'll figure it out. But just, again, two wonderful, wonderful selections. And, you know, Vicki, it was funny. They were filming a Christmas movie over at Graceland a couple of years ago, and they were actually filming it in the summertime, I believe. And it was really funny watching all those folks bundling up in coats with fake snow here in Memphis.
Right. Yes, I remember watching that. I think it was a Hallmark movie, wasn't it?
I think you're right. Well, Vicki, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening to KWAM.
Love you, Todd.
Take care. All right. Always love hearing from our Memphis friends. All right, let's go to West Memphis, Arkansas. Uncle Todd is on the line. Uncle Todd, what's going on?
Oh, Todd, I'm so glad y'all are on something jolly today. That's perfect. I got to tell you, Aunt Sarah's and my favorite Christmas movies. In fact, we love them so much. You may know I have a home theater in the backyard of my house called the Avon, which was the local movie theater here in West Memphis. And I change out the marquees 4 times a year. And I just put the Christmas films up, marquee posters, and they are, Sarah's is Christmas in Connecticut from 1946.
Yes.
A wonderful movie if you haven't seen it. She loves that rascal. And my favorite of all time is Holiday Inn. You mentioned that just in one of the previous callers. But Irving Berlin music, always terrific movie. Terrific. Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby, just great. And a bit of trivia from Memphis. Years and years ago, WREG, or WREC, Channel 3, was the place to go to watch movies. They had a marvelous movie library. And for years and years, they just absolutely wore out Miracle on 42nd Street. And they changed it in the late 60s because a new old movie got released for TV, and that was It's a Wonderful Life.
Is that right?
From that time onward, they dropped Miracle on 42nd Street and added It's a Wonderful Life.
34th Street, new? Uncle Don, 34th.
34th Street. Oh, well, yeah, 42nd Street, that's where we dance.
It's a great musical, Street. But yeah.
I apologize. With old people, you know.
So I'm curious, Uncle. I've got to get over across the river to see you guys. But when do you guys start decorating for Christmas?
Well, actually, they will light the city Christmas tree on, I think, this coming week on the 25th, Tuesday.
Oh wow, that's early.
Yeah, it is early. But I'm just starting to decorate the Avon. I need to send you some pictures so you can see.
Oh, you got to do that. Yeah, I'd love to see those.
Indeed, I will.
All right. Family doing well? Everybody's doing good across the river?
Everybody's doing great, buddy, and we love you.
All right. Love you too, Uncle Don. Don't be a stranger. All right. He's our favorite. Yep. Uncle Don. He's actually my uncle, by the way. People always ask, is Uncle Don your uncle? Yes, Uncle Don is really my uncle. So, and he was a hoot when we were growing up. Dylan, Uncle Don and Aunt Patty were like the cool aunt. And you know how you love all your aunts and uncles, but you've got a cool aunt and uncle.
Indeed. Yes.
They were the cool aunt and uncle.
They bring the pickles. Is that right?
They bring, yes. Aunt Sarah does a lot of canning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Those, I haven't tried them, but they seemed good.
Yeah. Aunt Patty passed many years ago and, she was, Uncle Don remarried, but you know, Aunt Patty was a local celebrity. She appeared on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, wow.
And I think she won like a year's supply of tuna fish or something. We were eating tuna for a long time that summer. That was
A win's a win.
But it was a lot of fun. But but Uncle Don was like in charge of, I'm going to botch it. So next time he comes on, we'll talk. But he was really involved in the civic community there in West Memphis, Arkansas. And we would make, he taught us how to prank phone call.
That's where you learned it?
That's where we learned how to prank phone call.
You know, you're known for that.
And I was so timid as a child. I was afraid because I was afraid to prank call. You know, my brother was like, give me the phone. And he'd prank call anybody. Yeah. But that's where we learned.
Well, you got to get your confidence from somewhere.
I know. Hello? Hello, ma'am. Is this Mrs. Ruth Ginsburg? No, wait a second. She's a Supreme Court Justice. She's dead. We got to go with it. Is this Mrs. Ruth Ginsburg? Why, yes, it is. Is your refrigerator running, ma'am? Why, yes, it is, young man. Well, you better go catch it. That's what we used to do.
How did you get her number?
Well, we just random. We had something called a phone book. And right. We would just randomly, you know, scroll through the phone book.
Yes,
and
try the to phone book.
We were like criminals. We were delinquents back in the day.
I wish that was, yeah. That's the kind of crimes we should have back here.
Yeah. Let's go to Nathan in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Nathan. What's on your mind today?
Well, Todd, I just wanted to share with you one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. And I don't think a lot of people know about it. It came out in 2004. It stars Ben Affleck, Catherine O'Hara, Christina Applegate, James Gandolfini, and it's called Surviving Christmas.
No, I am not familiar with that movie. It's called Surviving Christmas.
Yes, sir. So the premise of the movie is Ben Affleck's the main character. He has grievances in his life. He's going through a bad relationship, bad finances, and he sees his therapist. His therapist tells him, go to the place where all your grievances took place. Write them all on a list and burn them. And so what he does, he goes to his childhood home and in the process meets his family, pays his family to spend Christmas with him. And one thing after another, it's just, you know, it's just a lot of laughs and surprises. And I was very surprised, you know, just how James Gandolfini, you would think from The Sopranos, how funny he really is, like in a comedy.
He was actually a great actor, and, you know, I know a lot of people remember him from The Sopranos, but he really was a pretty versatile actor.
Yeah, he really was, but, you know, that movie lasted one or 2 weeks in theater, and, like, 2 weeks later it went straight to DVD, and, man, I was like, man, that's kind of injustice, because that's one of the best Christmas movies of all time, in my opinion.
All right, we've got this down. Surviving Christmas, 2004, a lonely, obnoxious young millionaire pays a family to spend Christmas with him. That's the description, so I love it. All right, hey, Nathan, thank you. We are adding this to our official list, and we sure do appreciate you listening to KWAM.
Hey, you're welcome, and thanks so much for having me on the show. Have a
all right, day. You too now. All right, how about that? So a couple of good West people on the other side of the river calling you. We love that. We call that West Memphis. Let's real quick go to Jim in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. All right, Jim, you got a Christmas movie for us.
Yes, we do. It's a movie that was made, it came out right after Christmas in the late 30s or early 40s with Gale Storm and what's his name? From Gilligan's Island, the captain.
Oh,
but the movie's called It Happened on Fifth Avenue, and it's a really cute romantic comedy, and I just came up on it a couple of years ago, and we watch it every year at Christmas time. It is really sweet.
So yeah. Alan Hale Jr. was the skipper, on Gilligan's Island. And this that movie is actually in this book called Christmas in the Movies. And it looks like a really, really fun movie.
It was. It kept you watching all the time there. You didn't know what was going to happen.
Wow. Gale Storm. You see, you brought back a lot of memories. He was really, really the actor back in the day and starred in a lot of movies. My Little Margie. And then I think he had his own show as well.
Right. She did have her own show.
Wow. That's
Gale Storm show.
Yeah. Gale Storm show. Absolutely. Wow. What an amazing. That's a blast from the past. Hey, Jim, thank you for that. We've got to take a quick break, and we appreciate the little escape from politics today. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we've got like 15 seconds. I'm going to try to get James from Memphis on KWAM. James, you got a Christmas movie for us.
I do. It's the movie Christmas Shoes, based off the song with a group, a new song. Great story, great encouragement. It's called Christmas Shoes.
That song always makes me cry, or at least get misty. I tell people I have allergies, James. All right, my friend, you did it. You got it in under 10 seconds. Well done, James. Folks, it's been a fun show. Yeah, thanks for letting us take a little detour off of politics. We'll be back at it tomorrow right here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show, noon to 3 Eastern. We'll see you tonight on Newsmax. You be good, America.